Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, non-stop action, interested, we got that, the Southwest Texan, they cruise, Greg, the Mark and Martez, they them dudes.
They go.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, non-stop action, interested, we got that, the Southwest Texan, they cruise,
okay.
Greg, the Mark and Martez, they them dudes.
Yo, it's your boy, they cruise, I'm out here making moves. How the hell can I lose when I'm the one that made the rules? All I see is the money, you can call this pay-per-view. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast is what we do. Let me introduce Greg, the Mark, and Martez L. I run with winners, homie, I can't fail. You say you undefeated in a match, we gon' see. Open Talk Radio, The Flash 313. From WWE to NXT, all elite wrestling, we discuss these. We just trying to make a positive impact. We putting over every single wrestler who did that. Welcome to your devil match.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, non-stop action, interested, we got that. The Southwest Texan, they cruise, Greg, the Mark and Martez, they them dudes.
Okay.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, non-stop action, interested, we got that. The Southwest Texan, they cruise, Greg, the Mark and Martez, they them dudes.
Ladies, gentlemen, and they... Welcome to another exciting edition of the Rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast. This is your boy, Greg DeMarc, joined tonight by Martez, conspicuous by his absence, my brother, Day-Day, who is attending the birthday of our niece, Nappy. And I just want to say, happy birthday, sweetheart. Uncle Greg loves you. It's like Uncle Day-Day loves you. He's bringing my love with him. That's why Day-Day isn't with us tonight, but we're going to talk about some wrestling, dude. It's going to be exciting. And speaking of exciting, right off the top, the thing I've been most excited about, the Detroit Wrestling Connection. COVID fucked it up, just like they fucked everything up. But, man, Detroit Wrestling Connection is about to build some steam and not only get back to where they were, they're about to get to where they're going, and I'm so excited, man. And it's about to – that's about to start in a big way. And, Martez, I'm putting you on the spot here right off the top. I want you to tell us about the Detroit Wrestling Connection and what you do and what you've done, and we'll talk a little more about what you're finna do.
Sounds good, sounds good. First of all, what up, Greg? Happy to be back on this radio, internet radio thing with you again. Day-Day, unfortunately, he's not here tonight. This might be him calling in. I see a number that looks similar to his. I guess we can get to that in a moment. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Yes, it's a lot going on with Detroit Wrestling Connection right now. Basically, Detroit Wrestling Connection, you know, it started off as a watch party. Company, business, organization, whatever you want to call it. What we used to do is basically throw watch parties for WWE pay-per-view events. At the same time, we would take donations for the less fortunate. For example, we would take donations for clothing, canned goods to give to the less fortunate. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten back to that way of doing things, but at some point we will get back to the charity part of it. We got a couple events coming up, AEW Full Gear, which I thought, Greg, it was going to be November the 6th, but I found out it was moved to the 13th this week, so we got to make some adjustments with that.
We're going
to
talk about Fuck Tony Khan in a minute.
Big time.
Because you owe us a Fuck Tony Khan rant, and we might not get the F word. Yeah, you never know. We might get a Fuck Tony Khan out of you tonight, because I know he's got heat with you.
You know, I almost lost.
And that's bad. When anybody has heat with Martez, that's bad. Because the guy doesn't dislike or get mad at anybody. He doesn't get disappointed in anybody, nah.
Yeah. That kind of sums me up, man. I mean, I do have a dark side, but I try not to tap into that. You know, we got a few things going on. A lot of things I can't announce right now because you got to tie up some loose ends. And because of legal reasons, I can't speak on some of the big events and the signings that we.
When there's legal reasons you can't speak on shit, big shit is coming, bro. Let me just say that. When there is a legit, and this ain't a work, when there's a legit legal reason you can't mention something you're working on big shit. Just let me say that.
Man, Greg, like, you the king of putting over stuff, man. You the king of putting over stuff. Actually, you should be doing a promotion. Like, why am I even here? You should be promoting Detroit Wrestling Connection, man. You got more passionate about it than me. So you should be doing it.
I do. Because it's my family. I want to see it succeed. And I know it, the great that it's done in the name of Jesus and that the great that it can do. It just got to get it back off its feet because –
yep.
People have short attention spans. They forget about shit real easy. That's why when you lose your buzz, you lose your momentum, it's hard to regain your momentum. You almost need a big spot, a big something.
Yep.
Maybe is it a big rub? I don't know. But I know, and I know that Detroit Wrestling Connection is going to do great things in the very near future.
Right.
You know?
And you know what's funny
about
that?
We gotta get it out there, man. It needs to get its momentum. We gotta get the ball to the top of the hill so we can get it rolling down again.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta dig deep and pull some tricks out of the hat to get it to go over. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's what we're trying to do at DWC. And lastly, we definitely want to network with people, whether it's other wrestling promotions or other businesses that's out there. Detroit Wrestling Connection is just more, it's more than just wrestling. You know, we want to help promote you and we want you to promote us. You know, that's what I believe in, is helping each other. And I think we all will succeed in the long run. So that's it for Detroit Wrestling Connection. Tune in next week. I might have some more information for DWC. Greg.
So in the meantime, where do you want to start? You want to start with Tony Khan?
Yeah, but I think we have Day Day on the line. Do you want to go to him first, or you want to start this conversation then?
Yes.
Okay, we'll bring Brother Day Day on now. Brother Day Day.
He'll be with us in a moment. I really wanted him to know.
I'm sorry, Greg. I'll put him back on.
His boy Tony Khan. Wait a minute. I might have heard a piece of Day Day.
Yeah, I'll put him back on mute. Let me take him off mute. Let's see if he's with us right now. He's off mute.
Day Day.
Day-Day, either he got disconnected or he hung up. I don't know, but he's not with us right now.
So, Tony Khan, the great, that's okay. Just tell everybody I'm producing tonight. Greg DeMarc running the switchboard. It's apparent.
It's all on me. I can't let you take that heat, man. It's all on me.
I know I can't take the heat because it's a dead giveaway when the theme music plays that I probably didn't set it up, especially when it's the right theme music.
Right. Now, is this Tony Khan time?
It's Tony Khan time.
Let's do it, Greg. Let's do it.
Tony Khan, you got heat.
This isn't even the number one reason why he has heat with me. You know, we got this little thing, this watch party that we've been promoting for weeks and weeks and weeks. And originally, the Full Gear was scheduled to be on November the 6th. Okay, so going into it, I'm thinking that the pay-per-view is November the 6th. So I find out this week from somebody else that, hey, you know that the pay-per-view was changed. I don't know when it was changed. I don't know when the date was changed, but it was changed to the 13th. Now we are in a spot where we're trying to see if we can still host this watch party on the 13th instead of the 6th. So, again, speaking of loose ends, we got to tie up some loose ends on the back end to see if we can still proceed with this watch party because AEW decided to change the date. And I don't know when they changed it, but it definitely was a big surprise to me to find that out. So that's one reason why I'm kind of ticked off with Tony. But that's neither here nor there. But the real reason why
that's one fuck you, Tony Khan, for changing shit.
How dare you? How dare you change your mind about when you want to have Full Gear? How dare you do that?
As Martez's designated cusser, fuck you, Tony Khan. You fuck.
See,
and your kids.
You're my flesh, man. You're my flesh.
That's right.
Oh, let's put the phone number out there just in case people want to randomly call in to listen to this fine program. Since you're the lead host, do you want to put the phone number out there? Yeah, put the phone number out there, Greg.
646-668-8672. Hit us up. Talk some shit. Give us a fuck, Tony Khan. So, there you know. That ain't all Tony Khan done to get under your skin this week.
Yes. I'm at the point where I thought this was kayfabe at first, but I'm legitimately in love with WWE to the point to where I don't want anybody talking bad about them. And I find myself getting sensitive in defending WWE. That's when I realized that, hey, I'm really in love with this company. I'm going to admit this tonight. I don't want anybody talking trash about my WWE. You know, I don't want anybody talking crazy about WWE. To me, WWE is the best in the business. You know, in my head, WWE is the best. So, Tony Khan, I guess we found out earlier this week that WWE is going to be going head-to-head with AEW Rampage for 30 minutes this upcoming Friday. So, Tony Khan basically...
So, did SmackDown change their time?
Yeah, SmackDown changed... SmackDown is going to be 2.5 hours instead of 2 hours this week.
Okay. So, maybe Tony Khan launching an offensive, or is this SmackDown launching an offensive against AEW, though?
It quite possibly. I mean, if you're looking at it, it's SmackDown, you know, because they went up to an extra half hour, so they threw the first blow. I just didn't like the response that Tony gave. To paraphrase it and to summarize it, Tony basically said, we've been waiting a long time to beat you guys. He basically said, we've been waiting a long time to beat you guys, and that's what's going to happen Friday. AEW is going to beat WWE. I have a problem with him because I think he's beginning to be too cocky for his own good. I'm okay with being confident, but I think he's being too cocky.
But Martez, let's face it. This is truly what we've all hoped would happen, brother. WWE, somebody was going to step in somebody else's lane. Never mind who threw the first punch. They were going to end up in the same lane, right? And what's going to happen? So if WWE is taking that step, taking that punch, swinging that blow at AEW, they're going to bring the kitchen sink for 30 minutes, are they not? You've got to expect they're going to put their best shit forward, and then AEW is going to bring their best shit forward.
Yep.
Head to head. It only makes everything better.
Yep. And I agree with you. And this is something that I've been waiting for myself, you know. I never thought it was a competition until you went head-to-head during the same time slot. This is when the competition truly starts. And I agree. I think WWE is going to pull some tricks out their hat. And for that 30 minutes, probably through the whole night, but that 30 minutes specifically, they're going to do some things that make you say, wow, because you have a reason to. Like, if I don't have a reason to fight if nobody's punching me. AEW is punching
exactly.
WWE at the moment. Now WWE can fight. You know, will the war end tomorrow night? No, it's going to be a continuous thing. But
This is just the beginning of the war, brother. This might be the true beginning of the real war. I mean, yeah, the NXT thing. I mean, you got to at least respect when they asked Tony Khan outright, are you competing? He said, look, we have television deals with NBA, and they have the playoffs coming. We want to preempt. So we had to pick Wednesday. So, you know, the NXT then decided to go on cable, which, I mean, you can say AEW went to Wednesday before they went to cable. But now here's a concern I have, and a lot of the looking at the documentaries about the Monday Night War, WCW became watered down when they started Thunder and, you know, running Nitro, and just like running Rampage, it was going great. They're getting the ratings they need to get. But then AEW Dark is a completely different product. You're not asking the same people to perform. They're giving different guys. It's like the feeder. So, you know, and I am so happy to say so many guys we know, like our guest last week, the Mysterious Movado, future guest Isaiah Moore, you know, former guest Sin and Money, the Capital Vices, so, you know, have been featured on Dark and re-featured on Dark. It's a completely different product. And then they kind of out of nowhere start Rampage, which they're using their main roster. They're using it to, you know, is it going to, I mean, you're going to blow through storylines. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? It's a great possibility that they can water themselves down. And I don't know, it might not be because they added a second show, but I think they're on the verge of watering themselves down because of the simple fact of bringing all these quote-unquote big names in. And what I mean by that is I think the whole big name thing is starting to fall by the wayside. It's not like bringing in a new guy every other week, it gets old after a while. And for somebody like me, that's getting old. I think about CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and a few other people. I was dope. I was excited. I mean, I was through the moon about it the first couple weeks. Now it's just kind of bland, okay? Now it's just kind of, okay, I'm not quick to turn on AEW like I thought I was going to be, being that those guys are not now a part of that promotion. It's still the same old AEW. You're not piquing my interest. You're not arousing me in no kind of way. You know, I think that will water them down. The whole, ooh, we got to bring in this person. We got to make this flash. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do something big.
But now is the time that, like you said, here's a new guy. We've done that, those shocks. And all the new guys there are, except for Bray Wyatt, who Tony Khan says they haven't even talked to, I just read, like yesterday. But so they're here. Daniel Bryan is here. Now let's see what you do with them. Just like Rusev is here. Let's see what you do with him. They're letting him perform. They made him the TNT champion. It's, you know, now Sammy Guevara is the TNT champion. I think that'll put a lot of good matchups out there. We've seen Bobby Fish. But now they're acquiring this talent. Now let's see you use it. Let's see you use them in storyline. And let's see you use them and give them pushes and put on these awesome matchups that we know are out there, just like they did with the Revival.
Yeah. Speaking of the Revival, like, the Revival who? Like, are they still even on the show? Like, what's going on with that, man? let me just say this. they like to say that we're here to give you pro wrestling. And pro wrestling is what you want. And you may disagree with me, Greg, but days of pro wrestling is over. Like, Vince McMahon created a, it's almost like the mob, you know. If you want to do work in my territory, you got to fly, you got to go by my rules, okay? The rules of the game with, the rules of the game with this is sports entertainment. You need to fall in line, okay? Don't push this sports, don't push this 100% pro wrestling bullcrap with me. That's not going to fly, you know. Just pro wrestling. And that's what AEW want to feed you on. They know deep down inside that's not going to work. You know, we need shock value stuff going on. We need soap operas going on, you know, not pro wrestling. It may work on the independent scene, which I don't know much about, but I know that's what they're known for. It's just strictly wrestling. But far as...
No, I disagree 100%. And
tell me
when
why.
You say pro wrestling, my challenge is define pro wrestling. It's not just, if you just want to see wrestling, NWA is actually the product that's just doing wrestling. Pro wrestling to me is, to a point, sports entertainment, but when you stop calling it pro wrestling and you're looking at it as sports entertainment, I almost feel like you're looking at a different product, because pro wrestling to me is the storytelling, the good matches. We got to have storytelling. There's got to be a conflict and a reason for the conflict, whether it be a competition for a championship or a personal beef or a one-upsmanship, whatever that may be. There, you know, it got to have the storyline, and you got to have variety. There is, and it was another thing I thought of. AJ Styles said this. Everybody, first of all, everybody has their place on the card. And AJ Styles said, you can't always be the last match. You've got to move around the card. You're going to be at the top of the card for a while. You know, you're – and but then, you know, you move – Jericho did it. He was the top of the card. He was Le Champion. And then he passed the title on to somebody else. He moved down to the middle upper card with his feud with MJF. Stayed relevant, but, you know, and he's still an entertainer. He can be funny. He can be the opening match, the second segment with his comedy and his, you know, that's what pro wrestling is to me, is variety. And I think AEW is bringing the variety, and I think they have it. I think it should feature very few of the matches should be less than competitive and entertaining in that aspect, even the comedy matches. That's pro wrestling. It's, I mean, bra and panties matches, I never liked that shit, dude. A 17-year-old fucking pervert, Greg, wasn't really in with, like, oh, yeah, well, like, yeah, I tell you who the hottest chick is, you know, who I thought was hotter than who, but I wasn't watching wrestling to see that. I mean, you know, we garbage picked a box of magazines that show us more than we've seen on TV. I mean, that was available if you want to see something like that. I was watching wrestling because I was always a wrestling fan. I loved Miss Elizabeth. She wasn't the reason I watched wrestling. You know, I love Sonny. She certainly wasn't the reason I watched wrestling. Neither was Sable. It was The Rock. It was Triple H. The Rock, the guy that could be the best match on the card. And the guy that made you laugh more than any segment on the card, you know?
Yep.
See, variety. It's pro wrestling. And I hope AEW does give us pro wrestling. I think WWE is too much into the sports entertainment and getting a little too far from the wrestling. I mean, you can't call the championship a belt. It's not a title shot. You can't use the word wrestling. It's... What are you doing? They're going away from what you love. What you love is wrestling. What you fell in love with is wrestling.
Okay.
You're holding on because you love it. And it's not complete shit. It's not unwatchable. It's not. It's just not as good as it could be.
I'll give you that. It's not as good as it could be. But, yeah, I brought up the whole sports entertainment theory, and you really broke down that. You broke down the difference relatively well, you know, actually super
in
well.
In my estimation and definition of the term pro wrestling,
yeah,
is all.
Yeah. Okay. And I want to make sure I don't want to misuse your words, but basically you said WWE isn't a wrestling company, or they don't really market themselves as a wrestling company?
They're getting too far from the pro wrestling aspect of sports entertainment.
Could it be that Vince foreshadowed things and he realized that just pure wrestling won't sustain itself over a course of time? I mean, could it be that?
Perhaps. And the man is a fucking wrestling genius, the greatest wrestling mind. There will never be another, not even fucking close. But WWE was not always great around WrestleMania 9 when Giant Gonzalez was running around. It was shit around, you know, 94, like King Mabel and Diesel, like, and Bastion Booger was running around it. Dude, I watched it faithfully. Duke the Dumpster, Drosy, the Goon, where's some other absolute fucking, but it was
Repo
fucking
Man.
Shit. He seen that it needed to change. He changed it, not for the better, but eventually conceded that that wasn't working and changed again. And then, you know, once they had become the thing, they transitioned into the PG era for a reason, for advertising, for money. And it may have hurt their viewership, but it didn't hurt their brand.
Right.
And, you know, Raw and SmackDown continued to flourish as two brands. They maintained television deals. They maintained sponsorship in that they're selling primetime TV at a primetime rate to advertisers. You know, NXT became a thing. The Performance Center became a thing. WWE Network became a thing. They've continued to evolve. Just because, and that's the best thing I can say and honestly hope for, is that this is just kind of like the new generation era, in that we're between eras and we're trying to find what works. And you know what makes that happen fast? Competition.
Yeah. It truly does, man. And I'm here for it. As they say, I'm here for this whole competition thing. But please don't act like you're getting ready to run over this giant called WWE. That's the only thing that bothers me, is that you got these AEW slappies that's anointing AEW as the greatest thing since sliced bread, which is so far from the truth. You know?
How can you think, though, that you would ever put out of business a global juggernaut who just in a fucking pandemic turned in their record profits? They're turning in record profits. As a company, they ain't going nowhere. It's going to, the advertisers and shit ain't going to fall off overnight, dude.
I mean,
Hulk Hogan video featuring Vince McMahon could come out when, you know, dropping a bunch of, you know, bombs, and they still ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. You know, one thing I don't like about WWE is that everybody's seemingly the same. You know, nobody's really standing out. If maybe Roman,
they're not allowing anyone to stand out. They're being handed script. It's just the way they're doing business, I think, that's making it not good. Wrestling people with wrestling backgrounds should be writing wrestling stories. Those should be the wrestling minds, not movie writers. They have all kinds of writers that write promos. They find these people all sorts of places, and it's, you know, trying people. And I get it, because I am in a business in my shoot job where there's nobody to hire. And it's like, you got to try everybody that you can possibly, you know, try to see. I mean, maybe they will be good at it. Like, having nobody do the job at all isn't working, you know?
Yeah.
If the people you have aren't getting the job done, you need more people or different people.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, this might be a hot take, or it might be a crazy take, but I will argue that the ruthless aggression era, and this is where you might call me delusional, but I can argue that the ruthless aggression era was worse than this era. Like, I completely had no interest in.
I will actually agree with that because, and I tell you, like, so in a nutshell, the phases of my life, right? I was first memories, dude. Wildfire Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer, they settled their beef when I was like not even three. And I remember that feud, right? To a Hulkamaniac, right? Hulkamaniac through the 80s. I'm born in 81. So Hulkamaniac. Hogan kind of goes away. Warrior wins the title. I was a big Ultimate Warrior guy. I'm still down, you know. So around that time, coming out of like WrestleMania 8, when they didn't do Hogan and Flair, I started falling out of love with it. And then I was into baseball for a couple of years. But right around WrestleMania 10, which is dead new generation era, kind of started watching again. And I'm like, man, this still just isn't good. But I watch it, right? So there's that era of not good that even I experienced because I didn't devote as much time to it. I did kind of start. But I was paying good attention to the shit when Nitro started coming out. That's when I was finding the dirt sheets, ML Curley's hotline, which I understand he's very much not a good person. I'm sorry I even mentioned that guy's name. But like the worst things you can possibly accuse a person of, like involving children, like
Fuck that guy. Yep, definitely.
You know, I found him, and, you know, it was making me more interested, and I kind of, and then, you know, Nitro came, and like, all right, this is getting exciting, and then the Attitude Era, everybody was a wrestling fan. When I was in high school, man, it was all DX and NWO shirts, you know? All of a sudden, I was, you know, a nerd for watching wrestling, that fake-ass shit. Now it's the coolest thing. Everybody's watching it, you know, and Monday Night War, man, hottest era. And then you said, then, you know, WCW goes away. There's no more competition. And then we went into the Ruthless Aggression era to where I really pretty much quit watching. I'd read quickly the, you know, what was going on Raw, but for the next few years, didn't pay much attention to it. So I'd almost agree that the Ruthless Aggression era might even been worse. It became, you know,
because
it was apparent it wasn't what it was gonna, when it was not what it was, and what it was gonna be wasn't as good.
I completely agree, and it's easy to look at it now, Greg. It's easy to stand here and look at it now and say, "Wow, they had a lot of great talent during that era." Like looking back at it, you know, you might be like, "Oh, this was good," but going back, being my maybe eighth grade, you know, whatever, ninth grade, you know, during my high school time, early adulthood, it just wasn't that, it wasn't good, you know. And I'm not going to allow myself, even though I look at it now and realize it was some cool things going on, I'm not going to backtrack and go from how I felt during that time. It took CM Punk to
Doctor of Fugonomics, John Cena, and Eddie Guerrero were like the best things going on.
It is. That drove me crazy when they pulled John Cena gimmick, the Dr. Thugonomics. I thought that was, I could have hooked up with that. You know, I could have vibed with that because that Dr. Thugonomics was some of the best stuff I've seen in the history of the business. You know, he was killing it.
It was the one segment that I didn't want to miss during that era was John Cena's match because, dude, his rapping, you could tell it was, you know, unique, and he wrote it himself. And I'm not really a John Cena hater. I'm really not.
Yeah. Me either, man, you know. Like, but that era actually birthed out something, and I've never known a babyface to get booed.
Who else? There was also Edge in that era. So we had Edge, Eddie Guerrero, and John Cena, the Dr. Thugonomics John Cena, were the best three things in that era. Yeah, you had a little Triple H or whatever, but, you know, Evolution, but they weren't weren't that great. Like you said, man, it wasn't that great.
Shawn Michaels came back, but it wasn't all that, you know.
It wasn't that great.
Hulk Hogan came back with the yellow and red. It wasn't that great.
That was awful.
Kurt Angle was special, but.
Kurt Angle. Yes, Kurt Angle was. So that's four superstars of the Ruthless Aggression era.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar, you know. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Ruthless Aggression era birthed Brock Lesnar. But, man, really, his first run, which, dude, I was huge from day one. Love that guy. Like, man, I love this guy. Dude, his first run only lasted less than 2 years. He was gone for years.
Mm-hmm.
He did MMA. He almost made an NFL football team as not a football player, which is a pretty big deal.
Right. Yep. Wow, we definitely covered a lot, man. We definitely covered a lot, yeah. So.
I think that wrestling almost dropped the ball when New Japan starting to really build some steam and Ring of Honor starting to build some steam right around the time that AJ Styles and Nakamura and Gallows and Anderson came to WWE. Samoa Joe came right around that time. Not long before that, Finn Balor, Prince Devitt. It was like, man, when NXT started doing the pro wrestling thing that's so super entertaining, which is a perfect example of pro wrestling. There is, you know, comedy. It's a little less. You have your, you know, shock value, shock factor stuff, and you have, you know, your different divisions and rivalries. Is, man, I love the way they did pro wrestling. I don't understand why that had to change. Have you been watching the new NXT product?
I tried to. In the first couple of weeks, I was digging it, you know, and I'm still supporting it. Let me say that, but it just seems sad to me. Like the new NXT is not moving the needle. I found myself this past Tuesday because we were going to talk about that on Wrestle Talk and the D, but I didn't even get through 20 minutes of it because they just lost me, man. I don't like it right now, you know. But I'm not giving up on it. That's all I'm going to say.
Is it something new or is it like what it was with a fresh paint of coat?
All of the above. It's definitely similarities to what it was, but it's more of a new thing than anything, you know. They're a bit more edgier, you know. They curse a lot more. You see a lot more skin from the females. So
it's soft core attitude era they're dabbling in.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. And you never know. They could be using NXT 2.0 as a precursor to bringing that attitude type of a style back to the main roster. Who knows? But as of right now, NXT 2.0 is so-so to me.
You can't have, like, A-rated R show, like, do, like, I don't know. I could see having a, like, really, really PG show and the rest have it, but, I mean, I don't know. The 18 to 49 demographic is, like, the key. The advertisers are looking to draw. The whole thing isn't what it was. The whole, you know, ratings thing is not what it was, and it's not as clear and cut and dry as it was.
Yeah.
I definitely like you'll never see numbers like you've seen before. Like Hogan Andre after, you know, right before WrestleMania 4 was like 38 million people watched it or something at a 30 point something rating. Like It, like, the number, like, it was a 3.2, was like 3.2 million people, pretty much in the Attitude Era, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. Don't quote me on that. I believe so. But another
thing, all in all, it was like pretty much.
Yeah.
But now I don't understand it. Like a 0.25 might mean a million people watched it, and they're, you know, certain demographic. They make a lot of money just following statistics.
There's so many other outlets where you can watch wrestling that, you know, it's so different now. You know, you can turn on YouTube and watch wrestling. You know, you can search for something like a New Japan. You know, you necessarily don't have to stick with one promotion or one wrestling organization. You know, so many options out there. So, like, everybody's not just going to watch World Wrestling Entertainment. You know, everybody not just going to watch Impact Wrestling and so forth. You know, and so many other options that you can watch. You know, which is a good thing. We got a caller on the line, Greg. I'll let you bring him on, Brother Coco.
I was just gonna guess that.
All right, I'll let you introduce him, and then I'll bring him on. Okay.
So, welcome, my brother. So I see what's going on here. You're gonna gang up on me now. The WWE marks. You know they're the worst, and they travel in packs like seagulls. You WWE fans.
Oh, whatever do you mean, good brother Greg? You accuse the black man of something that he wasn't even gonna do. But first and foremost, what's happening, good brother Greg? Good brother Montez, so happy to hear y'all both on the radio again. Good talking to you.
What's up?
But in the case nobody knows who I am, this is a black man, Coco T. Well, and I am the founder and leader of Kayfabe the People's Band. Now, let's just get right to the quick and the good. Now, I got a bone to pick, not with you, good brother Greg. I got a bone to pick with good brother Martez, because he said something a few minutes ago that triggered the black man when he said, when the greatest pro wrestler of all time, my favorite pro wrestler, the man, Hollywood, Hulk Hogan, you said when he came back, it wasn't all that good. It wasn't all that special. Need I remind
it
you,
it was awful.
At WrestleMania, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, baby, that was hotter than fish grease in the middle of a Las Vegas desert on the 4th of July. What in the world are you talking about?
Hang on. Well, hang on. That is not the red and yellow return that he spoke of. The
exactly.
NWO Hogan return and the slight face turn there, I get behind that. I don't even know if you can quite call that WrestleMania Ruthless Aggression era. That's still coming out of late Attitude Era. The Hogan that came in after that was the drizzling shit. The red and yellow Hogan.
Yep.
Whoa,
the red
whoa,
and
now
yellow post-2000 Hogan.
Listen, I don't even care if it was the Thunder Lips version of Hulk Hogan. Don't y'all never say in the black man's in-laws or in his presence that Hulk Hogan and any iteration was no good. Uh-uh, baby. Even the red and that yellow, baby, was GOAT. Y'all saw what happened at my birthday bash back in July when the black man donned the festival was when he rocked the bandana and he put on that yellow and red T-shirt. The crowd went nuts, baby. They dug it like a shovel 10 feet in the ground. You feel what I'm saying? So, no, I'm sorry, but the black man is fanboying out right now. I'm definitely mucking out, and I don't mind saying it because I'll admit it. When you love what you love, you stand by it. But no, don't you never say that Hulk Hogan wasn't special or that it wasn't no good. Uh-uh. I wholeheartedly disagree with y'all. Okay, I'm going to yield my time.
What is that bullshit of Smart Mark with that nostalgia shit? I'm a Smart Mark. He ain't bullshit me with that
shame
nostalgia
on you,
shit.
You old my brother Greg. Shame on you. Shame. You know you love your little nostalgia nostalgia thing. Hey, CM Punk is back in wrestling. That's nostalgia nowadays. In wrestling terms, being gone for 7 years, that's a long time. That's still a long time.
Hogan debuted in 78. I think Punk was fucking born in like 78. What do you mean?
I meant
Hogan
what
debuted
I meant,
like
brother.
74,
Frank.
Actually. Old Kerry Boulder.
Same difference, good brother Greg, and you know it. You like your little nostalgia act, so get on somewhere.
I don't know. I don't know if you can call that nostalgia. I mean,
I do.
I don't know. I'm not much of a nostalgia guy, actually. Anytime I've ever been excited for something that was supposed to be nostalgia, I was like, oh, man, I've been waiting to see. I really miss this guy I loved 15 years ago. I'd be like, oh, wow, that's why I don't wrestle no more. He's fucking old and fat and slow, and he fucking sucks. Like, oh, yeah. No shit.
Look, yeah. You know the rules in pro wrestling, baby. They all come back. They always come back.
They
can
all
never
come back
get their
old
way.
And fat. They come back
from
old and fat rim. And slow and broken. And your heart is
and
broke because
it.
It's not. It just, it, why ruin the memory of that, you know, the guy that could actually do the big boot actually on the chin and not, you know, below the nipple and then actually get the leg up and drop the leg. Like, dude, you want to remember that. You don't want to remember the nipple kicking Hogan.
Hey, it never stopped the Rock and Roll Express, Danny. They still going. They like 70 years old and they still doing Canadian Destroyers
and
all that
slow.
Shit.
And they're old and fat and slow. I don't want to see them wrestle the Young Bucks, but the 1985 Rock and Roll Express and the Young Bucks would be a great match.
And they stole the show, and you know it.
I mean, they would have the 20-year-old ago Rock and Roll Express, not the new old fat ones. No disrespect to the Rock and Roll Express. I love them. Ricky Morton is a friend and former guest of the show, but dude, they're old and fat and slow. And I mean, Ricky's son, he's not old or slow or fat. He's the future. But the Rock and Roll Express, dude, it's O's, man.
Shame on you, good brother Greg. Shame. I mean, what should I expect from a guy who's a fan of Alex Van Zandt? A.K.A.
Oh,
QBA.
I'm so glad you brought him up. He is my hero. And just so you know, my very first, and I have Pokemon from 2016 in Pokemon Go. AVZ is my first best friend. We just reached best friend status. And soon we'll be linking up, probably at a Starbucks. And we will make a lucky trade of Pokemon, likely some legendary ones. And, yeah, it's going to be a wonderful festive experience. Shout out to AVZ. I love you, brother. My bestie.
That is a crying shame. You out here fanboying for Mr. DVD, Mr. Starbucks.
It's not fanboying. See, we have sent one another gifts every day for months now to achieve best friend status in Pokemon Go. You understand, because you're a nerd. You don't play Pokemon Go. Like the cool kids do.
No, nerds play Pokemon Go. Nerds play Pokemon Go. I'm way too cool
for
that. I got a Facebook account, good brother Gray. Do you have a Facebook account?
Are you calling Chuck Stein a nerd? Do I need to tell Chuck Stein you called him a nerd?
I never said Chuck Stein was a nerd. I respect brother Chuck Stein.
You just said it.
Matter of fact,
you just said
Chuck Stein is what's making Pokemon Go cool.
Oh,
no,
my God,
you
called Chuck Stein a fucking nerd.
See, now you're lying
on
the black man. I love Chuck Stein. Matter of fact, Chuck Stein is the reason why Pokemon Go is still in the worldwide internet and why it's cool to this day. He's what makes it cool.
Oh, I got it.
Y'all
oh,
dragging it
I
down.
Thought it was only nerds. Thought it was only nerds fucking with that shit. Huh? Yeah.
You said I was a nerd for not being on it.
raiding with
anyway.
Me on a remote raid pass, Chuck Stein caught a perfect shiny legendary Pokemon. No bullshit. Straight shoot. He even posted a picture of it on Facebook. You might have seen it if you follow Chuck Stein, like a guy that really loves Chuck Stein.
Because he is making Pokemon go great again. Y'all dragging it down. That's the problem.
Oh, no. We lift one another up in the wonder of Pokemon, and we throw balls at shit, and we capture it for our own, and we fight.
Oh, hey.
We battle.
Why the black man is real? I'm going to change this subject because you're trying to start something that don't even need to happen because I got love for Brother Chuck Stein. But anyway.
Oh, no.
I just don't mind a little shameless plug from the black man. As you guys
you
know.
You love all your nerd friends? You love all your nerd
friends? Hey, see, there you go again. Yeah, that's why I love you, Brother Greg. That's why I put up with you, you nerd. So anyway.
See?
As you guys know, the black man debuted Can't Fade the People's Band back on his 40th birthday bash, and we had a wonderful time. We had a hootenanny, you know what I'm saying? Well.
Yeah.
I
wanted to bring that up.
That's right. And there's a little announcement, if you will. I can't spill all the beans yet. But the black man got a couple of things coming up real soon for the band. And we're going to let the whole world know about it. What's that now?
I know one confirmed for sure.
That's for sure, baby. You know one. And everybody, hang on. You're going to hear something.
On my wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's beautiful. See? That's the wonderful thing about Kayfabe, the people's band. We know how to present a product on people's wedding anniversaries, and y'all got to show up. You see what I'm saying? So we got a couple things coming up real soon before this year ends out. So y'all hang on. Stay tuned. And I'm going to definitely send the information to good old Brother Montez. So Open Talk can put it on. I'm going to send it to the Open Talk 313 Reddit Our Podcast. Y'all can share it. Send it to your mama and your cousins and all of them, and we're going to have a wonderful time, y'all. The band is going to be rolling and rolling strong. We got our band members. We are rehearsing. We are
practicing. The band's hitting the road,
baby.
And we
are ready. That's right.
The band is hitting the road. It's your first road trip, right, for Kayfabe the People's Band.
That's right. Now, despite your heelishness, good Brother Greg, you with the band, you can just come. Hey, when they come in, they stop you at the door and say, hey, I'm with the band. I'm going to go, oh, he's one of us. Bring him in. You know, so you can still come with us. And Brother Montez, of course you can come too. But Mr. ATP, he can't come. He got to pay full price.
There was a picture from my Facebook of me and AVZ with a red circle and line through it at the birthday party. Well, I wonder what the fuck was up with that.
Yeah, he wasn't invited because all he would do was just make the show about him. And besides, my cousins and them don't even like that, but they just fell out.
Mr. One Night Only. Stay tuned,
that's
eh?
That's right. Be careful now. Be careful now. You're spilling a little too much of that, good brother. Just hold on. Just a little while longer, baby. But yes.
We're talking
Mr.
about
Ono
July
himself.
10th, brother. What are you talking about? I'm talking about July 10th.
Oh, sorry about that. I kind of broke the fourth wall there, didn't I? But anywho, that's
gotcha.
Right. See, your heelish ways just showing up again.
I threw that out there to mess with you.
Yeah,
couldn't no-sell it.
That's okay. That's all right. Because you know what? I'm going to talk to the good brother Electric Ely. And we gonna concoct something fun and sneaky just for you, good brother Greg.
Oh,
and brother Montez, I'm gonna put brother Montez in on it. You won't even know it. but
Montez would love that.
He
John
would.
Cena like ass motherfucker, Eric Ely.
That's
heavens,
a wonderful man. He's
Eric
a John
Ely.
Cena of Michigan independent wrestling, baby.
Yeah. He did get the dub against Dread King Logan, but he goes from fighting Dread King Logan to fighting Scrubs at Metro Pro. What the fuck? You know why?
No,
he ain't good enough to fuck with Jason Hotch. That's why, because Jason Hotch will beat the fuck out of that boy. Beat the fuck out of him. You think he wants to smoke with Alex Weir, the Metropolitan champion? I don't fucking think so. Kill shot. He's about to get married, dude. He don't want his cute little grill piece getting kicked in, and that's exactly what will happen if he steps in the ring with the Metropolitan champion. And then the Metro Pro Heritage champion, Jason Hotch, I mean, come on, dude. As I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm a big MM3 guy. Jason Hotch, he's definitely in the top three, and him and MM3 are like 1A and 1B, okay, right now.
I hear that. But you know, brother Ely can take on all comers.
Ely don't want that smoke.
At all times. He want all the smoke,
Ely don't
baby.
Want
he
that
invented
smoke.
Smoke.
Come on,
smoke. You feel what I'm saying? He invented the smoke, okay? People want to call him Bob Marley. That's how much smoke he brings. You know what I'm saying? But, and a who?
He got
and
lucky
in
New Breed a couple times. He got that belt around his waist. His fucking head swelled up. Like, you ever see that episode of South Park where the fucking... the drug counselor, drugs are bad, okay? And his head's all big like a fucking balloon. He's floating around and shit. That's your boy Eric Ely right there once he won the New Breed Championship. He's, you know, I ain't
well,
seen
a,
Jason
champion,
Hotch
baby. He can,
at New Breed.
His head up if he needs to.
He defended the title against a few viable challengers, you know, put the title on the line against Caleb Still, but... he ain't fought no Jason Hotch for the title. I mean, he's got to win over Logan.
That's a shame. That's right. A much-needed win. You know what I'm saying? I've seen how the Dread Queen Logan just causing all this trouble and mischief and all the shenanigans, and he finally got his. He got his comeuppance. You know what I'm saying? So good. I'm glad somebody beat that dirty, dastardly Logan. He ain't no king. You know what I'm saying? He's just a guy with a clown complex. And he found out the hard way that Alexa Ely prevailed over all, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
I figured that royalty would recognize royalty, but apparently I'm wrong.
You're absolutely wrong. The only royalty that I recognize is the one upstairs right now doing her wonderful queenly deeds, the Khaleesia Cafe. Sensational sweet dinner. That's the only royalty I recognize and know, you know what I'm saying? Because she is the brown sugar sapphire to my American dream, Dustin Rose, you know what I'm saying? She's fine and she all mine, you know what I'm saying?
I think she recognizes other royalty when she sees it as well. Because she is definitely a divine, sophisticated woman, indeed. How the fuck you ended up with her? I mean, hey, I guess some of us just get lucky. I got lucky, too. I got a hot wife with my ugly ass.
Hey, the black man got game, Daddy. I got more game than Papa Brothers. You know
I
what
tell
I'm saying?
My kids this all the time, bro. Here's the secrets to life. Cut a good promo and know when
that's
to
right.
no sell. It's the same thing.
That's right.
That's a secret for all you out there. You know, that's how us ugly guys get the dime pieces. You got to cut a good
that's
promo.
Right. That's right. That's right. Brother Matez, that's how you get the ladies, brother. That's how you going to get Mrs. Matez. You know what I'm saying? That's how you going to win her, Daddy.
I'm taking notes, good people. I'm taking notes.
Cut the
there you
promo,
go. There you
brother.
Go.
I'll never have as much charisma as you two, though. You know, but if I can have 10% of it, I'm good, you know.
You're better looking than both of us, though. That's the thing, and we got
right.
dime. You know
handsome
what I'm saying?
Devil. Lady
well,
killer.
This? How about this? Both of you all are better looking than me, so how about that?
Nah,
we just some old folks that's over the hill and past our prime, but, you know, we
that's
make
right.
good with our time, you know what I'm
and
saying?
And settled
but
in with a dime,
hold
and we cut a good
baby.
Promo, too.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's
we're
right,
settled
baby.
In with some dimes that we already cut a lot
that's
of good
right.
promos to. Yes,
that's
and we
right.
know when
promo,
to no sell.
Good promo never dies. I mean,
the
hey, even the chicken
die,
baby
friend.
Got him a wife. Even the chicken baby got him
promo,
a wife.
Brother.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all created a new segment on here, man. How to cut a promo.
God's got a dime for Martez. Just watch.
Oh, yeah. In due
he's
time and no
waiting.
Time.
waiting for the man to come up and cut that promo.
Hey.
That's right, and sweep off her feet. Shawn Michaels style, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, peep this
and
guy.
And that's the thing. Everybody is stuck on pickup lines. Like, pickup lines, dude, that's so weak. Like, would you read that shit in a meme? Nah, bro, you got to cut a whole-ass promo. You look at that girl,
right.
Head to toe, and you shoot. You cut a fucking promo, brother.
That's right. Cut it like your life. If she was a broomstick, still cut that mean promo, daddy, and sell. Put that broomstick over.
Put
you know what
over.
I'm saying? That's what they say in the wrestling business. That's right. Put her over. Let her know she is the draw. She is the catch. She is the line in your hook. You know what I'm saying? Reel you in, daddy. And that's all you have to do, and that's all you have to say. And the rest is going to take care of itself. Now, look, peep this here, fellas. Forgive me, but I got to throw this in here. This Sunday, coming up, Mr. Dropkick Wrestling Association is having a show in wrestling, and the black man just might be there on this Sunday evening. You for brothers plan on going?
I just might be there too, brother.
Oh, man, it's going to be a whole party,
hey,
ain't
some
it?
Some of my friends are booked there, and my wrestling grandpa, Papa Shotwell, Matt Breeding.
Okay.
They are.
Awesome.
Very well might be there as well. I'm trying to be there.
Yeah. Hey, look, I haven't seen the good brother Freedom Ramsey in quite some time, so I can't wait to see that brother in the ring. He's made a lot of changes and moves for himself. He seems like he's really doing the thing.
That's funny you bring up Freedom, because when we were talking about Ely, that's the next place I was going with that, was he ain't faced Freedom Ramsey one-on-one in New Breed either. And to me, that's the guy. When New Breed, you know, it'll be up and running again. That, to me, is the guy to take the belt from him. It's either going to be Alex Weir, which obviously you don't want to smoke, or Freedom fucking Ramsey, baby.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, a special bonus segment tonight. You got, you know, how Uggos get dimes with Coco and Greg.
That's right.
That's a little bonus for all you out there, man.
That's right. But, you know, that Martez is a deceptive charmer. You know what I'm saying? He got more game. He got more swagger in him, more than we can. He's basically, y'all don't know this, but that man is a ravishing Rick Rude of the airways, baby. He,
you know what it
you
is?
You just don't
know
it yet.
You know what
yet.
It is? It's like you see it sometimes, like you've seen specials about it on, like, Oprah or whatever. Like, this bitch is so hot that nobody can approach her. You know, Martez, you know, oh, she's looking at me. Martez is turning around walking the other way. That's it, man. You see her looking? Go cut that promo. That's what it
that's
is,
right.
Man. They're looking. They're
I mean,
out there. They're interested.
Good high.
You got to go cut that promo, dude.
Hey, that's right.
If she buries your promo, no sell that shit and go cut another one.
That's right. And just say, you didn't like that one. I got something better for you, mama. But I'm going to make you wait next time. That's all. And then she got to look forward to next dope promo. You cut in front of her. And then you get her the ravishing Rick Rude treatment to take the St. Robert's wife. You see what I'm saying? She couldn't resist herself, truth be told. She had to slap Rick Rude in front of the whole wide world, because if she didn't, she would have lost her husband right then and there. But she couldn't resist the masculine wild and the masculine musk of one ravishing Rick Rude. And you fit that bill, Brother Martez. Don't worry, brother. You fit that bill.
I completely agree with your take on that. As shocked as I am that that's your take, I completely agree with it. And I couldn't have said it better myself.
Hey. The check is in the mail, brothers. It might not be a big check, but the check is in the mail. That's all I'm saying. And I'm turning my mic off.
That's right, hey. Baby. That's right. It's all good in the hood.
Definitely.
So, fellas, here's my question. Because it's been on my mind. I mean, I don't know if you guys have talked about it already, because I was already away at the moment. I couldn't jump on the show quickly. But if you haven't been talking about Bray Wyatt, about where he's going to be next, assuming he's going to be somewhere next soon, Here's my thought on it. You know, the longer I see this drag out, I think the likelihood that he's going to be back with WWE because, you know, you're getting reports that he ain't talked to nobody from AEW, or at least not to Tony Khan. There ain't no deal close with Impact.
I brought that up earlier. That's all we touched on was the fact that Tony Khan came out and said, I haven't even talked to the guy. There was all this speculation, and people outright reported that Tony Khan was looking into buying out his no-compete clause. That was bullshit. It was absolute bullshit. I believe Khan that he hasn't talked to him.
Maybe, just maybe. And then maybe it could be that, you know, if they did talk off the record, maybe like, okay, I'm not interested, you know, or I think I'm going to stay here for a moment. I mean, maybe Brother Bray is just going to, hey, maybe wait this out going into next year. Give himself some time. But then again, he's still under contract as far as we know if he had like that whole no-compete clause. So I'm thinking anytime this month, I mean, I think if there was ever a great time to bring back Bray, if there's any time for Bray Wyatt
or something.
I mean, I would love to see it happen at Crown Jewel, but I just don't know how the Saudi people would take the Fiend. I mean, maybe it would be Bray Wyatt himself. You know, I'm thinking, what if he intervened in that King of the Ring match, you know, with assuming that Finn Balor and Xavier, I believe they're the finalists, correct? If not, I'm predicting that they will be. But let's just say those are the finalists for Crown Jewel. I can see Xavier Woods being on the ropes, on his way to being defeated by Balor, only for something else crazy to happen again, like at that last pay-per-view. And, you know, have they even addressed or discussed or went any further into that whole incident when a turnbuckle fell in and he hurt himself? Because to me, it just seemed like that seemed like something like a supernatural Bray Wyatt type thing. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But
I agree. That would be great.
The greatest thing
WWE is doing right now is that they're gonna crown their queen at Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia. That's just awesome to me.
Yes, and here's what people got to understand if they haven't. Think about countries like Saudi Arabia in the Muslim world, in some of those parts of the Muslim world, they call it conservative in the sense that, I wouldn't call it conservative. I would say to some degree, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, but restrictive. Because, see, it wasn't that long ago that women were just able to drive, you know what I'm saying, legally in that country. You see what I'm saying? If you remember a few years back, the women, they didn't, almost didn't even have a women's match there. And when they did, it was kind of more scaled down. The women had to be fully dressed. And I think they still have to be covered to some degree. But to know that the women actually had a match or two in that country already. And then they're going to do this whole tournament. And to realize that's a huge, huge accomplishment. So there's some good things happening in that country. And you know what? That's a huge feather in the cap of WWE. You know what I'm saying? Doing something like that. I mean, this is beyond entertainment. That's some groundbreaking historical stuff right there. You know what I'm saying? But back to Bray Wyatt, man, it would be cool to see him pop up there. Or maybe sometime after said event. I mean, he may agree to a whole new deal after this or during this time. I mean, we just don't know. I mean, he's lost some weight. He's looking better. And we could all be wrong and get the shock of our lives and he pops up. He could pop up in New Japan for all we care. But we all going to be happy about it. We just want to see him again. But I just think at the end of the day, the only place I think he's going to come back to is the WWE. Yes, wrestlers and the management, they always have a strained relationship. They butt heads. They fuss at not getting fight. Sometimes they put stuff on social media to complain, to get agitation. But then at the end of the day, they come to a meeting of the minds, find a happy medium, and then they get on the business. And then you know what? We fans are happy again. So I could kind of see that. But, hey, I could be wrong at the end of the day. All this I'm saying could be completely wrong. And I'm okay with that because, see, I'm a fan. You feel what I'm saying? I ain't no armchair GM. I don't claim to be a wrestling expert. I'm just a wrestling fan, baby, that love that square circle, the collar and elbow, if you will. Shout out to Brother Al Snow. I'm about to buy me a couple products from them. And that's why my music is centered and geared around pro wrestling, baby, because that's the best thing going. You feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, we're about out of time for the evening. Thank you, brother, for coming on and debating these things. Martez, as always, we talked about it a little bit earlier. It's like, you know, Greg and Day-Day, a certain chemistry, a certain, you know, dialogue. Greg and Martez, always a different dialogue, you know, and, you know, always a fresh dialogue with Coco, man. I thank you guys so much for being here with me tonight. Day-Day, we love you, man. And baby Naffy, I love you, baby. We will, happy birthday.
That's right.
We'll hopefully
That's right.
see you soon.
And look, baby Cruz, and, what's happening, baby Cruz?
And God bless you all in the name of Jesus. Peace.
Amen.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Non-stop action, interesting. We got that. The Southwest Texan, Day-Day Cruz. Yeah. Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast.